This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. Small businesses in the Chattanooga area, here's a podcast just for you.
The person needs to really know what I'm looking for. Am I looking for to learn leadership skills? Because if I'm just learning, I'm looking to learn.
The How to Business podcast features the team at the Chattanooga office of the Tennessee Small Business Development Center, produced in collaboration with Missing Word Solutions. Joining us from the TSBDC team, Lynn Chestnut, Managing Director, Sarah Mattson, Small Business Specialist, and Madison McCann, Office Supervisor. Greg Thompson is Executive Producer and Founder of the Pod Wheels Network, part of Missing Word Solutions. Lynn, Sarah, Greg, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
It's great to be here.
Tell us more about this podcast.
In 2020, in light of the pandemic and seeing how businesses were needing innovation and needing to pivot their business, we kind of applied that to the Small Business Development Center as well. We're always looking for ways to provide innovative resources to our clients. Currently, we offer counseling. We previously offered in-person workshops and trainings. We moved to digital online trainings now, virtual trainings. So we thought a podcast would be a great way to introduce another medium for people to be able to get small business resources, learn about some of our client success stories, and just having another outlet for people in light of how popular podcasts have become.
And then, Greg, how do you come into the picture?
What's interesting about this is that about a year and a half ago or so, I started working with TSBDC. I was referred to them through a contact of the Chamber of Commerce. I was looking to do another media project at the time, and it didn't work out. And I had set up a meeting with Sarah, and I didn't want to lose that meeting. So what I did was I came in and showed her what I was doing with podcasting and other aspects of my business. And she started working with me as I was looking to grow my business. And also when the pandemic hit and we all needed a shift. So like a lot of people, I wasn't aware that the Small Business Development Center existed here in Chattanooga, that TSBDC was here, was a resource. And man, I felt very, very fortunate to learn about them, to be able to utilize them. And so as we were talking about expanding and building what is now Pod Topics, I just happened at the end of one of our sessions to say, well, maybe you guys could use a podcast. And Sarah said, well, maybe we can. Then I put together a proposal. We talked about it and could work through the mechanics of what the podcast would look like. And I have to give high compliments to the team over at TSBDC. They have really embraced this. I work with a lot of clients in different ways, and they've taken and built a structure around some advice that I've provided. And it's been a true collaboration. It's been a great experience.
Lynn, talk to me about some of the things that we're hearing from small businesses through the podcast and about that pivoting.
One of the great things we think we've done is not only given topics such as growth and sales, obviously being a big one, food and beverage, an industry that's been very heavily hit, e-commerce, those storefronts that are now needing to pivot, as we say that word. But we've also included some of these small businesses to give a real life story around these topics. So we're featuring not only our staff, but we're featuring some of our clients like Greg that share real life experiences. We believe when a small business owner hears from one of their peers, you know, it means more. They know that these people have been through this and are going through this. So we think it's much more impactful. And we think we're going to be able to reach far more people through this medium.
Now, this is relatively new for you folks, but what feedback have you gotten so far?
Well, we've had hundreds of people download. So we've had a huge response to it. There are, I think it was 68 million people every week listen to podcasts. So we're like, this is perfect for us. This is another way to reach our client base and potential clients and also tell who we really are, right? A lot of people don't realize what all we do. There's this thought that we only help very small startups get started. And while that's true, we do that, we work with existing businesses. We have clients whose businesses are over 100 years old. So we have a lot of resources. We have a lot of research that we can do to help businesses at whatever stage. And this has allowed us to get that message out.
And you have more episodes in the works and more topics to cover.
We have a podcast about myth busting, common myths about owning and starting a business. We've got podcasts coming up about, we're still bouncing around some ideas, of course, but we've talked about doing some that are kind of workforce related, HR related, HR issues. We're talking about doing some regarding how to have a long-term plan for your business, including an exit strategy. How do you really map out and have long-term success with your business? We're really trying to not focus too much on pandemic, but having timeless topics to help businesses to really grow and have a good, strong foundation and have the right resources that they need so that with any threat, they'll be resilient and able to bounce back faster.
And for people who want to catch the podcast, where can they go online?
Well, there's a few places they can go. First of all, the podcast is available on all the major podcast platforms. And you can go to podtopics.com/TSBDC. When you go to that main page, you'll see business. If you click on that, you'll hit the podcast. So invite people to check it out.
And I will add too that anywhere that anyone listens to podcasts, you can just search our title, which is How to Business SBDC. And that should bring it up.
And if people want to go right to SBDC online beyond the podcast, where can they go?
So you can go to tsbdc.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and you can message us there. TSBDC chat is another way to reach us. And I would say to people, if you have a business and you have a vision, but you can't seem to get there, we've got experience resources to help you devise a plan to reach your full potential. So no matter who you are, where you are in your business, reach out to us. Let us help you and let us help you move forward.
All right. Lynn, Sarah, Greg, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray.
And now here's part of an episode of the How to Business podcast.
Hey, thanks for connecting with us again for How to Business, a podcast from the Small Business Development Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm Madison from the SBDC team, and today we're going to be talking about mentors. Lynn Chestnut from our SBDC team will be leading our discussion today with several guests.
Welcome to How to Business from the SBDC Chattanooga. I'm Lynn Chestnut. I'm the managing director. And we have some great guests on today. We're going to be talking about mentorship and mentoring with small business, how that impacts your business, how to find a mentor, what to look for when putting together a mentor, and what those resources may be. I'm very happy that we have some great guests today, one being someone that we've worked with at our center and works with a great organization, Launch Chattanooga. We have Dewan Jordan, who is Director of Business Support. Dewan, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Lynn.
So Dewan, let me ask you, when you're working with folks, when you're talking with folks for the first time or initially, what are some things that you look for in talking with them about setting them up with a mentor? Or what do you think about when you hear mentorship?
When I hear mentorship and when I'm thinking about setting someone with the mentor, I think it's most important, number one, to define the goal, the reason that they want a mentor, what their expectations are of the mentor, the information that they're looking to receive, the help that they need. I try to identify their needs first, because what I really like to do is I like to give people an opportunity to be developed. And so I like to be able to place them with the person who it's best fit to help develop them and not just equip them.
Great points. One of the things with mentors, several things that we look at, the values, and I think you talked a little bit about that, aligning the values, communication. Communication is vital, and communication is a two-way street. Making sure that someone that you're going to be working with, who's going to be your mentor, is going to be your counselor, can accurately communicate with you, and then you communicate back with them in a timely manner. I think willingness of both sides to work together toward, as you said, Dawan, what is that goal? What is the ultimate goal around that? The setting the expectations, I'm sure, Dawan, as you're working on talking to people about setting expectations, I'm sure trying to set those realistic expectations is not always an easy task.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of times when someone need a mentor, they really don't know what they need until they get it. Being able to set expectations, that's why it's so key that you try to be clear up front and you try to define the goals, and the person needs to really know what I'm looking for. Am I looking for to learn leadership skills? Because if I'm just learning, I'm looking to learn leadership, I can learn that from lots of mentors. But if I'm looking to learn something from a specific industry, then I want to find a mentor in that specific industry. You made a good point when you said that communication is key. Communication is definitely key, because when you're getting a mentor, you need someone who you're compatible with. You want somebody you're compatible with who has a temperament that works with yours. A lot of people you learn from, you don't have to like someone you learn from a lot of times. However, it can put a lot of strain on the relationship if you don't like the person that you're learning from or mentoring you, because it's really hard to receive from someone that you don't like or someone who really doesn't know how to communicate according to your communication style. Definitely, you all have to have some of the same values. You have to care about the same thing, have the same values, but also in just being compatible, you also have to have a balance of contrast, because you don't want to get with a mentor who believes everything necessarily that you believe, who thinks the same way, who has the same thought processes and perspectives that you have, because you want someone that will be able to kind of make you think outside the box and challenge you as well.
That's a perfect point and something that I wanted to expound upon. Mentors are here to tell you what you need to hear, not always what you want to hear. And that's challenging. And the personality part is key, but you're exactly right. When you're looking for a mentor, it's like many other things in life. One of the greatest things I ever heard about pairing up with people, more around marriage, relationships, but it also relates to business. And that is, if you're married to, in a relationship with, a business partner or a mentor with someone exactly like you, there's one too many people in that relationship. As you said, that balance, somebody who is willing to take, maybe they have a different viewpoint and neither may be wrong, but it's hearing the other viewpoint and giving you additional guidance, which may help you see it in a different way, which may help you grow. You and I probably have both had a lot of people that we weren't exactly maybe that compatible with in the beginning, but as you work through it, you develop that compatibility.
Absolutely. And kind of going along with what you just said, if you have a mentor and you think the same and you have the same...
Listen to the rest of this and all of the episodes of the How to Business podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Virtual learning has made it challenging for schools to connect with students about their academic and emotional needs during the pandemic. So, when one high school in Nashville welcomed some kids back in March, student support teams started working to make sure they had a successful return to the classroom. More from Damon Mitchell of WPLN News.
Adansia Joyner's stint learning from home wasn't the most fulfilling experience. So, she's been working with her school counselor, Marie Papini, to get her grades up.
How are classes going?
Oh, I got two F's.
But she does have an A in Spanish.
Tell me what you've learned. Say something in Spanish. Come on.
I can't speak Spanish. I just know how to do the work.
Okay. You can't say hello in Spanish?
Nope.
Joyner is an 11th grader at Kipp Collegiate High School. It's a charter in East Nashville. Before she came back to the building, she was hardly interested in logging into Zoom sessions. Part of the reason was being overwhelmed with stress, which she deals with by sleeping a lot. It also didn't help that she lives in a jam-packed household.
I have a whole nother family, my aunt and them live with me, so it's a lot of us in the house, and I don't ever have space of my own. My cousins stay in my room, so I never have my room to myself. I'll never get no peace and quiet.
Joyner is one of nearly 500 students assigned to Papini, although her caseload is focused on those with the most needs. Papini acts as a liaison between students and teachers. She also monitors academic progress and intervenes when kids aren't passing. She's been working with Joyner since her freshman year. It took months to build a trusting relationship, which required face-to-face bonding when getting to know each other. That strategy has been impossible to do for most of the school year.
I will say that having students back in the building has been really helpful as far as being able to easily identify students that might need extra support that didn't need it before.
Kipp's taken extra steps to reach students during the pandemic, like coordinating meetings with families and conducting home visits. The school also has a virtual counseling option. Still, there's no guarantee that kids will engage. Those who do may also hold back their feelings when going through stressful situations. That means a counselor may not really know what's going on.
We have had students who have had sick family members. We've had students that have, you know, continued to experience loss while they've been remote.
It's also unclear what the actual need is for all students, because the majority of Kipp kids are still learning virtually. Only about 30% came back to in-person classes. Counselors have found that it's much easier to connect with students like DeMonte Fletcher when they're in person. Fletcher, who's a senior, is a star student at Kipp. He didn't have academic issues during virtual learning, and he wanted to stay home to support his family during a difficult time. But his mom forced him to come back to the building. He's been meeting with Papini to talk through some of his personal issues.
You said you're staying with your sister. And how is she doing now versus when I saw her on Tuesday?
She's kind of less emotional about it, but she still feels pain, which is why I'm staying with her.
Fletcher says his sister may have colon cancer. She can't work because of the pain. So he stepped in to provide physical and small financial support. This is on top of juggling 5 advanced placement classes.
She doesn't have internet over her house, so I've been using my phone as a hotspot, but she also doesn't have power in her house, so I've been doing DoorDash for her to try to get more money so she can pay her bills.
Fletcher struggles to keep up with assignments because of this, and Papini coordinates plans with his teachers to help him stay on track.
It feels really good because usually I'm not really the type of person that would, you know, go to somewhere or anything. I would like try to stick it out and do everything I got to do.
Fletcher says he appreciates that Kipp's support staff is going out of their way to help him. The high school is also training teachers on counseling techniques to provide extra support to students, including for the 70% of kids who are still at home. Damon Mitchell, WPLN News.
The A-List with Allison Leibovitz returns to WTCI PBS on Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Allison's guest in the new series of conversations, Paula Kerger, the president and CEO of PBS.
How important is it that as national and epic as you get in the programming, that people watching at home still have this feeling that it's from their local station?
Well, it is, because it's all made possible by the local stations. You know, I think people don't always understand what PBS is. It is an association of 330 local stations from around the country that was formed by those stations with the idea that if stations all came together, we could afford to do the range of programs that you enjoy on public television. So it's very different than any kind of media organization. You think of the networks, it's very top down. This is very much bottom up. Our programming largely comes from our stations. Now, some of the programming comes from some of our bigger stations that routinely produce. So all of this comes up through stations. And I think that it is, television is a very intimate medium. You know, people watch television either with their families or with small groups or one-on-one. Televisions are oftentimes in living rooms or kitchens or sometimes bedrooms. And you have this very intimate experience looking into a screen. And I think that the part of why people assumed that your mother assumed that Fred Rogers was in Birmingham is because, you know, the people that are on public television, I think oftentimes feel very accessible. They feel not like Hollywood stars or people that you would find in New York, but they feel like of a community, of a country. And that's, I think, one of the strengths of public broadcasting is that we work really hard to really shine a light on all of America and really to help people see themselves and their own experiences reflected through.
Watch the full conversation on The A-List with Allison Leibovitz Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. on WTCI PBS. You're listening to Scenic Roots. More in a moment.
This is Scenic Roots this afternoon, live from Barking Legs in a virtual performance from the Barking Legs Facebook page. This is the second half of the set, the debut set, by the Premier Jazz Orchestra.
Got a thing going on. and Mrs. Jones. See, we got a thing going on. See, we both know that it's wrong, but it's so much too strong to let it go now. It hurts so much down inside. Oh, and now she'll go her way and I'll go mine. But tomorrow we'll meet at the same place, the same time. Me and Mrs. Dawn.
I was going to pull a Latin number out here for you. So let's go ahead and get this one up here. It's another Michael Bublé song. It Had Better Be Tonight. And this is going to be featuring Mr. Michael Smith on vocals.
To be told, if you're ever gonna kiss me, it had better be tonight. While the mandolins are playing and stars are bright, if you've anything to tell me, somebody else. to be told.
Michael Smith, thank you. All right, next one. We're going to feature our trombone section and try not to lay them out on the floor on this one. So, from Atlanta, let me introduce on bass trombone, Mr. Todd Brubaker. Next to him, Mr. Mike Wirt. Brian Poteet. And Doug Warner.
Thank you.
Trombone section.
Come on now, that was work.
Make them work in here. All right. How about a little Ella Fitzgerald for you guys tonight? For this next song, Too Darn Hot, please welcome to the stage Miss Ellie Henry.
Love it, don't be to court when the temperature is low. My Thank you.
one more once.
Premier Jazz Orchestra recorded in Bonking Legs by Jamie Blanton, and thanks so much to Jamie for such an excellent sound recording of the 20-piece big band featuring Steve Vincent on drums, Tony Totoro on bass, Robert Crabtree playing piano, David Schwab playing guitar, Edward Freitag playing percussion. The saxophone section is Clint Schmidt, Gordon Inman and Grady Dickinson playing alto saxes, Alan Wyatt and Sean Snead playing tenor, and Keith Guillot playing baritone sax. The trombone section is Brian Poteet, Dalton Hurst, Doug Warner, Mike West, and Todd Brubaker. The trumpets are Stephen Bearden, Nathan Werner, Tommy Bullman, Wayne Estrada, and David Henry. This is Scenic Roots on listener-supported public radio in Chattanooga.
I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.